Well, a Los Angeles-bound airlines, American Airlines, 188 people aboard flying from London to Los Angeles, had to turn around and go back. Six people got sick on the plane, including a flight attendant who merely fainted and passed out. They don't know what happened, but they got back okay, but six people strangely ill. That's strange all by itself. They checked the plane. They said they didn't find anything. We're going to come back in a moment with our special guest, Michael Murphy, and your phone calls as we talk about unconventional gray chemtrails on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Michael Murphy with us. We'll get to your calls in just a second as they continue to pile up. I did get an email, Michael, from someone who said, George, to answer your question about why you folks can't find the pilots, what if all these planes now are drones? There are no pilots.
You know what? That's a great question. And I think very much of a reality, you know, in certain capacities. So, yes, that's a very, again, valid question, and that's something that we're considering.
That's very possible indeed. And where would they be taking off from, in your opinion?
Oh, I think bases around the world. These programs now are in all regions. So, again, this is something that is these are the biggest programs in world history, no question about it. So various airports, and I think there are various governments and corporations involved with this. One thing is for sure, the aerosols are there. The geoengineering is occurring. Our skies are changing. They've just changed dramatically. So we're moving forward in a legal and legislative capacity, and we are going to get these programs stopped, no question about it. And then we'll determine what planet is doing in terms of warming. Is it warming? Is it cooling? And I think that's a very effective approach because it, again, is a message of unity. So to support this project, which, George, I don't think I said, our website is unconventionalgray.com. And we also have details about the lawsuit that we're initiating. So unconventionalgray.com. Thanks.
And some people think, oh, there's nothing we can do to stop this. That's not true, is it?
George, that is the biggest lie. And yes, these programs are huge, but what can we not do? Once we're aware of this, then we can share information, and I think that's critical. But we also have to look at the season that we're in. And right now, we do. We have a team, a legal team that is investigating how to move forward in a court of law, which, again, addresses the flawed climate models and this global government that's being formed to remove our rights, to remove our freedoms, to bring in all of these taxes, all of these changes in our lives. So this thing is huge, but again, it's all resting on this issue that geoengineering is the key to, because without geoengineering, we're confident that a lot of this climate change would not be occurring. But again, once we stop geoengineering, we can see. So we don't even get into that argument. And we feel, again, this is the only way to address this. If we do not address this legally or legislatively and only hand out flyers, this legislation will be matured.
Yes.
There's a five-year period of implementation. And once that goes out of the United States or other jurisdictions, who do you go to? Well, you go to, what is it, the tribunals that are formed by the TPP, the TPIP. Those are formed by the corporations, and those are legally binding. So there are a couple of backdoors and loopholes related to this climate change agreement, and there's been a little bit of argument whether it's binding or non-binding. The reality of it is it's partially binding, not in all areas, but the TPP is legally binding. And what it does, it gives the corporations the ability to sue municipalities if they interfere with the corporation's profitability. Geoengineering programs are very profitable. And, again, so many people are saying, well, the Senate would never ratify this. 95% of all international agreements have been signed by executive order. They are calling climate change a national security threat here in the United States. This thing is moving forward. It's moving forward very quickly. As a matter of fact, we have carbon taxes here in California, and 500 new climate laws came into effect in 2015. These were all UN-based, and again, they were all based on climate models that state CO2 is the cause of our changing climate, which completely left out the fact that geoengineering is a huge factor, probably the biggest factor in our changing climate. So part of the film, Unconventional Gray, we went to, myself and a bunch of activists, we went to Paris, France in the summer. It was the precursor for the COP21 meeting, and really with the agenda of asking the scientists, hey, what are the risks of your legislation, your steps that you're taking now in terms of forming a carbon dictatorship, a world government that's based on carbon, where we all have to be taxed on carbon, where, state boundaries are circumvented, the state laws are not respected, and nobody can answer that question. But what we really also went in there to ask, are you considering geoengineering in your models, and what does that mean? And we got the same answer from every scientist. Well, it means the models are flawed. And again, you can't move forward with all of these changes, including the legalization of geoengineering, and that's really our primary concern, until the models are 100% accurate. So there is no consensus, even though we're told there is, in the scientific community. And again, you have to look at geoengineering's role in this changing climate. So, you know, a lot of this, it's the problem-reaction-solution. Create the climate change, get a population around the world to support your methods under the guise of saving the planet, but they're the ones that are destroying it, and get support for all of these monetary and political changes that are not in the best interest of people. I mean, we're looking at some real Orwellian changes here with the smart meters. We really went into this in unconventional gray, and if there are a lot of people demanding that our legislators do more to address this issue. I really don't think that they're giving our legislators the power to spray them with toxic chemicals without their input and without their input of their legislators. And we really have to take a look at where this is going, and it's not going into a good place. So it's critical that we address, again, the legal and legislative, and I know I keep on repeating this, George, but it's absolutely essential to get geoengineering stopped. And I want to live, and I know a bunch of other people want to live in a planet where we can breathe fresh air, where we can grow natural food, and where we do not have to submit to five people that want to demand and dictate what we do. We want to live free, and this issue is essential for that.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Shane in New Orleans to get us started. Hey, Shane, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. I hope you both are doing well.
Yes, sir.
George, I just want to thank you. First time I got to talk to you since I've been listening about 2002.
Well, thank you.
Love the show, and I love what you guys do for people and you and the crew.
Thanks.
But to back up Michael's research, I lived in New Orleans my entire life, and I evacuated for Katrina. Well, when we came back, my father and I were outside every single day on top of all of our friends and family's roofs for a good 6 months straight. And so I got to see these chemtrails. Sometimes it looked like a checkerboard in the sky. And I got to be thinking, I was like, well, you cannot, you know, blame that on regular aircraft contrails, because no one's flying into New Orleans because there's nothing to fly into. If you're going to come back, you're going to come back in your car, and there's no one to fly out of this area because we're all gone. So there's no reason to have all these planes flying all over us. It's tapered off considerably since, maybe two or three a day, sometimes, you know, not even all. But So strange, for a good 6 months afterwards, the sky was littered with them.
Well, yeah, that happens. Go ahead, Michael.
It does happen, and not only are our skies being littered in the Pacific, and what we're doing or planning on doing in 2 weeks, we have these aerosol explosions, and we've been watching satellite and various infrared imagery, and we see these big clouds being formed from source points, and we know what the unnatural clouds look like. They look like this cotton candy being pulled, and living in Hawaii, we can predict when the unnatural clouds will be coming over us. And we do believe these are ship-based aerosols, something that geoengineers have spoken about many times. So we're taking an airplane, we're taking a crew up to test the aerosols with the goals of flying over, getting filming their cloud generation, if you would, and then testing that cloud generation. And right now we have this argument. It's our legislators, many of them anyways, in our scientific community, they're stating what we're seeing in the sky is simply condensation trails. And there's no geoengineering that's occurring. In these programs, it's very effective and very important that we fly in, that we get the aerosol tests and get positive results, And first of all, we can prove them wrong and then move forward legally. But also, it takes away their plausible deniability. And now it's time for action. It's time for action once we have this conclusive proof. So there's going to be no ducking out of this issue, and we're moving into a new era. And again, I can't state how critical it is. While, yes, we need to be aware of these programs, what they're doing, the toxic effects, and especially to protect ourselves, hopefully we can talk about this. But right now, if, again, we fail to take the legal and legislative steps that we've discussed, I feel strongly that our hands will be tied and we will not be able to do anything in the future because it will be out of our jurisdiction. And that's where this thing is going. So right now, we have a very short time, but again, we're, for the first time, we have a legal team, and we have a team right now, just an incredible cast of people that are in the film. We do need resources to complete this, so go to unconventionalgray.com, become a funding angel, and help put an end to these programs. We're ready to do it. So thank you very much for your input. Really appreciate
that, Shane, and thanks for listening. Gordon in Las Vegas, welcome to the show, Gordon. Go ahead.
Hey, George, great to talk to you. I can't believe I'm talking to Michael Murphy on my first call.
He's one of the best.
You know, I just got a question for you. And now, we all know that the global economy is in serious trouble. If you tie in a catastrophic grain failure with a global economic collapse, my question is, how many people will starve to death? How many commercial livestock will starve to death? Who goes around and picks up all the dead bodies? And is this a format for depopulation of the planet?
All great questions, Michael.
I'm going to answer that question with a statement that Scott Stevens made, and we used in our marketing, if you control the weather, you control the planet.
That's
it's
right.
That simple. We're not only talking about populations. We are. We're talking about eating. And if you drought out a nation like we've had in Africa, in some of the underdeveloped countries, yes, people are starving. This technology is there. It's operational. And, yes, it is droughting out and destroying food supplies, and people are dying from this. This is very, very serious. These are attacks on nature and humanity, and because of that, certain interests, corporate, and also certain global elite who feel strongly that the population needs to be depopulated, they're moving forward because this fulfills their many objectives. And it goes beyond monetary. It goes beyond global governance. And I think it attacks the very thing that's the most important thing on our planet. That's life.
Think this is a sinister plan to control the world's population?
It's related. There's no question about it. People are dying. So, you know, we have people like the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. Those are just to name a few. There are some people that have a lot of power, and they feel very strongly that the world is overpopulated. And because of that, they do. They have the ability and power, especially through these programs, to manipulate and decrease the population. So it definitely is, and that's debatable whether these programs are that. These programs do many things on many different levels. Some of, George, what I won't even touch some of the agendas because I don't think it's prudent in terms of what our objectives are to move forward in stopping these programs. But yes, these programs are, they're not only destroying human life. This is ecosystem collapse. This is species extinction, which is going on at an alarming rate, and that could all be reversed.
Let's go to Lex in Hamilton, Ontario, on our Skype line. Lex, go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Lex.
I'm just so excited that this fella is doing what he's doing because I tried to do the same thing a couple years ago, and if you're short of pilots to want to go up there and take some tests, like just get a hold of the fellas at 9/11 Truth, pilots for 9/11 Truth. There'll be some pilots there that'll do what you need. Now, the one problem I had here when I tried to rent a small jet to go up and fly through a chemtrail, the pilots here are interested, but they are afraid of cockpit contamination because all aircraft the jet engines have an air filter system that goes into the cabin.
Sucks it right in.
Yeah, so they don't want to go through the chemtrail. Now, the National Research Council of Canada has a special aircraft a jet, a small Learjet type aircraft with special attachments on the exterior that will take the samples. However, going again, the air goes into the cabin. So nowadays, I think there are some planes that are being built soon that will change that air dimension thing. But anyways, yeah, contact pilots for 9/11 Truth. There'll be some pilots there that'll do your flying for you if you have an aircraft to use. That's another problem. What lease company will give you an aircraft to go up there and do what you do, and then they're going to have to check out the pilots, et cetera, et cetera. But these guys, I know, I don't know them personally, but I am always in contact with them and reading what they do. And you'll find your pilots at Pilots for 9/11 Truth.
They're pretty gutsy. Hey, thank you, Lex. Appreciate that. Well, that's a possibility if you ever want to go up there and test the stuff, Michael.
We're in the process, so we've already gone up and we're scheduled. We don't have the date, but in about 2 weeks we're planning on going into Maui. So we did receive one donation, which gave us enough. We joke around. We say, yeah, we have finally have our gas money, kind of like we're hitchhiking, but we do have enough to go up for one test. It's important that we do a multitude of tests because of the many variables that we have. And bottom line, we're in it to win it. We're just not going up there to fly around. We're not going into court to spread awareness. We're going in with very specific objectives. And the reason is this: our time is very short, and they're moving forward with legislation. So we have to go for the juggler. We planned, and you can go onto the website, Unconventional Gray. Click on the side, lawsuit. That will bring you to our lawsuit page. Now, we're not releasing much information, but enough to give our viewers and our supporters an idea in terms of what approach that we're taking. And there have been some other ideas for lawsuits, and, you know, we commend people for moving forward in that capacity, but you have to look at what's happening geopolitically, and you have to file the lawsuit accordingly. And again, there's only a certain number of chances that we can get this into the courtroom before they will start throwing out cases before they're even filed. And that is why we are looking to fund our team of attorneys for research. We need a well-funded team. Bottom line, the people who we're battling against, they're well-funded. They have all of their needs met. They're working with the best computers and the best systems. This is going to be a battle, and our team needs to be on the same stage as them. So, yes, we're looking for an initial funding strategy, which we outlined on the website. So, again, unconventionalgray.com. But then we're moving into four phases. And it's critical that we do this and are well-funded and have the resources to compete, or should I say take on, those who will be defending these crimes against nature and humanity.
All right. We will be back in a moment with your final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Michael Murphy, his new documentary, of course, Unconventional Gray. Michael, most people will say that in the morning the skies seem clear, and then by mid-afternoon they're all patchy, foggy, tic-tac-toes and everything. Do you think that that's when the spraying occurs, sometime in the mid-afternoon?
You know, it used to. Today we see it in the night, so in the morning, after studying the trails and what they turn into. A lot of us have become very effective at noticing what's artificial, and it's most of what's up in the sky. So, you know, there's no telling anymore. And a lot of it, you know, as we have discussed, is related to weather control, climate change, diverting jet streams and so forth. So Scott Stevens, you know, I spoke with him, weatherman who was in our last film. I asked him, how much of
good
the
man.
Sky and weather is natural? He said, none.
None?
None.
Huh.
He said,
were you
none.
Surprised by that?
At the time, you know, when that was back in 2012, and of course there are natural systems, so they're working with natural systems to produce desired effects wherever that might be. At the time, my mouth kind of opened. I didn't really believe him, but now I'm looking at the weather patterns. And when we have a storm front coming in, that's when they start trailing. That's when they start trailing. Or a powerful storm, like in Arizona, the monsoons are getting destroyed. They're seeding the tops of the monsoons almost on a daily basis. So, you know, right now there's so much going on, and there's so much that can be achieved through these programs, especially relating to this climate change agenda, that, you know, they're definitely, they have their hand in, the corporations and governments, in most of our weather because of the power that it gives. So today I'm not surprised. Back then I was.
Let's go to Baltimore. Tom's with us on Coast to Coast on the Wild Card line. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
By the way, when I was on hold, I heard the Coast to Coast Insider commercial.
Yeah.
Been an insider since its inception.
Well, thank you.
Bargain. Absolutely. At 15 cents a day. You can't beat it. And I have to say very quickly, George, the young lady, very professional, who is screening for Tommy.
Gina.
She's been doing that for a couple years, right?
When yeah, she sure has.
And I've gotten her, I think, at least three times. You can't put a price tag on her, George. She's one of the most professional, kindest, nicest persons that I've dealt with. And I'm retired now, but I dealt with people my entire career. So please know that and let whoever can give her a rave and keep her retained, let them know that as well.
She is blushing as you speak, Tom.
Well, it's all true. Huh. I'm a cop, so I wouldn't lie to you.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Mr. Murphy, thank you. Kudos to you for the work you're doing on the chemtrails this spring. I think it's one of the, well, possibly one of the most dangerous things for our health. And I think you're extending that into tackling global warming is excellent as well. I think that may be one of the most detrimental things to our wallet if they get their way in taxing us for carbon credits and such. But I did want to ask you, though, when you are taking this and applying it to global warming, how rigidly have you stuck with the scientific method in determining that there is a causal connection?
You know what? Very close. And I've cross-referenced this with scientists. And anytime you have a model, what you put in and what you get out needs to be accurate. So I compare this issue in the models. The models being, let's say if you're in your home and you turn the heat up to 100 degrees, would it be prudent to say, oh, my God, it's getting hot outside? It might be getting hot outside. It could be getting cold outside. You don't know until you turn off the heat. That heat being geoengineering, and that's what we have. We have regional displacements of weather systems, of jet streams, and thus temperatures. And that's why we're getting the warming in the Arctic, the sub-zero weather, you know, down in the south part of America, in the southern states. You cannot get an accurate temperature reading until the heating or cooling factor is changed, and the Earth is able to rebound that back to its natural state. And at that time, then you can. But, you know, due to the fact that the very entities who benefit from this are the ones that are geoengineering, and they're aware of this. They're not, you know, blind on this. This is about money. It's about power. It's about control. It's about global domination. It's about controlling you in your home. It's about controlling everything that every people do in this world. It's a new system. It's a carbon-based system. It is a carbon-based economy. It's a complete transformation. And if people were even aware of what we're looking at, and I'm talking about, you might be, we all are going to have to be capped unless you have money and you have the ability to trade carbon credits. All of our energy sources, all of what we do is based on carbon. And you might only be able to drive ten miles a day. And now in Oregon, they're actually monitoring people, and there's a tax, a mileage tax. And you will be capped. I don't know how much, but you might only be able to drive 70 miles per week. Let's say if you work 50 miles away, what's that going to mean? And how much are you going to be taxed each mile after? Or how much will you be penalized? You know, these are some real good questions that the people demanding that our legislators do more are not asking. What about in your home? Let's say if you leave a light on. We have smart meters that monitor everything that we do in our home. Let's say if you leave a light on, you go to work. Your smart meter detects that. You could get a $200 fine for leaving that light on. I mean, these things are pretty severe. And then, let's say these smart meters can measure everything. We have interviewed a lot of people in relation to this. they have the ability to determine what appliances we're using. And this, again, is a whole new green-based economy that's coming in, and green-based appliances. And they will be mandating against our will. They will be telling us what products to buy, when we can use them, and how we can use them. And let's say you use your vacuum cleaner in 5 years. We're looking at a five-year planned implementation, and it's not registered green. You could get a fine for that. This is what corporations love, because through these climate agreements, and what the goal of these climate agreements are doing is to really create a dictatorship. So the corporations working with governments to determine what you do, what you buy, when you use everything. They love it because you will not have a choice. You will be forced into many things. And this is a complete transformation of life, of freedom, the way that we know things. And the clamp is coming down. And again, I can't stress, these are all predicated. Everything that we're seeing, all of these taxes on climate models that are flawed, they're fraudulent. We can prove that. And we have to stop it. And if you think these things are bad, I don't want geoengineering. And I'm certainly not going to accept geoengineering based on climate models that said the planet's warming, when I know and when the scientists know it's impossible to determine whether it's warming or cooling. So it's very critical that we test positive, at least in our atmospheric tests. We have rain tests from around the world, but this is a court of law, so we have to be very specific. So we're going up in the airplanes. And proving geoengineering is happening in this capacity is absolutely critical. But, you know, we looked at, and we're still looking at different ways within this lawsuit. You know, we're looking at ways to sue the EPA for failure to report. What is that going to do to the geoengineering agenda? Because, again, they're geoengineering. It's critical before we take action that they get these programs legalized. So any other lawsuit may get this, you know, into the public eye. But I think, again, it's critical that we address climate agreements and the flawed climate models in order to get these injunctions. And again, we're not saying the planet's not warming or not cooling. We're not even arguing that. And that's the beauty of it, because what it does, it gives incentives for those who are really pushing this climate change agenda and the global warming issue. We can partner with them to say, let's move forward in stopping geoengineering together collectively for the planet. Let's partner. And that's what our message is. And this is for the first time in the history of this world, we now have an issue that impacts each and every one of us in a very major way. But with that problem, with that issue, we have an issue that can unite us, and it will, and it is. And this is the transformation, and this is the issue that we need to restore our planet, to restore our political system that is fraudulent, that is corrupt, relating to this issue. And it's a very slippery slope. There's a lot of power here, but we have truth. And with the right support and with the right partnerships, we will be successful. And this is the biggest agenda, period, on the history of the planet, and we're all impacted by it, and we have to change this. There's no choice. We have to move forward in changing this, and I'm very excited about the way that we're going in the plans that we have. So you can go to unconventionalgray.com. Please pre-order a DVD that will give us resources or become an angel to complete the project and to get up and get enough funds for the aerosol test. And then we have some funding objectives for the lawsuit. So click on that website, learn more about it. But again, we need to come together to stop these programs, and we will.
Let's go to Redding, California. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Yeah, I had a question, and I'm going to sort of play devil's advocate here for a moment, but have you ever stopped to consider that maybe there's a good reason for the chemtrails? Now, let me explain. George, you've done an excellent job of pointing out the vulnerability of the grid to an EMP and that kind of an attack,
mm-hmm.
but it's a fact that if you put a stratospheric layer of conductive metal particles in the atmosphere and there is a nuclear explosion above that, that it should help to shield the grid against that kind of an EMP. So there's one possibility. Another might, you know, and I know that it's attractive, it's entertaining to consider all these nefarious plots, Agenda 21 and so forth, you know, population control and these sorts of things. But we know for a fact that there's now a kind of optical stealth that's being adapted throughout the defense industry, not just our country, but other countries. And so if you've got planes now that no longer have a thermal signature, no longer have a supersonic footprint because they're traveling at lower speeds, but they're even invisible to the eye, one of the ways that you could see them is by putting particles into the air, broadcast a microwave signal that resonates those little nanoparticles and heats them up, and anything that's flying through that is going to punch a hole that you'll be able to see on a scanner that shows where the nanoparticles are not, because they've been displaced by the flight of the aircraft. So this might be, I mean, if you consider it as a possible overarching national security interest, why they're doing this and why they're neglecting all the other environmental considerations. I mean, have you ever looked at those possibilities? Have you ever thought about those possibilities?
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because there are a number of things that can be achieved through these programs, and some that might be under the guise of protecting, but, you know, we really have to look at society in a different way. This is aluminum. This is barium. People are dying from this. And under the guise of national security, we have to put poisons in your sky to protect you. There's a better way. There's a humanitarian way. Our system is broken. If we're poisoning people to protect them, we have to look at the fundamental way we're governing. And that's where the issue is. That's where the issue is. We have to move forward. The planet moving forward in this type of structure, in this model, is not sustainable. Where we live in a planet where perhaps they are. Some of these programs could be to protect the planet, but we know for a fact, there's no question about it, these programs are designed to manipulate our weather. They are designed to change the temperature of the planet. So a lot is being achieved through this. But because of that, that's a political issue. There are a lot of geopolitical implications, and I'm not willing to be poisoned every day because the U.S. might have done some military exercises and might be threatened in some capacity. We're in a season today.
What about those who spray? They breathe the air too, Michael.
They do. And you know, I think there are a couple of levels, and I'm glad you brought that up because it comes up every time. And there are people who do their job, they do what they're told, those are the people probably, if there are pilots anymore, but the people loading the jets, and, you know, a lot of people do their work. They do what they're told, and they keep their job without questioning. But we do, without question, we have people who are aware of what this is doing, aware that it's causing death and destruction. But as geoengineer David Keith said, he said geoengineering gives man godlike power. And I've never chased godlike power. George, maybe you did a couple of times. I doubt it. But I know a few people who did. It wasn't as big as a rush. And I'm joking around a little bit. But that godlike power must be a hell of a rush. And, you know, we have examples. Because, yes, these people are breathing in these metals. I'm sure they're detoxing them and taking good care of their health because they know what's in it. But we have examples every single day of people using drugs, of people doing things, adrenaline junkies, that are not in the best interest of their health for the rush. So how much bigger is a godlike rush and all of this power? And you can even relate it to a businessman. We have people dying of heart attacks left and right here in America and other countries, because they wanted to overwork and gain money. They were pursuing money and power, and I think it's the same thing. I really do.
Would you take some time? We may take one more call. I'm not sure if we have time, but mention your websites and where they can get your DVDs.
Of course. Unconventionalgray.com, and we absolutely need support to complete the aerosol collection project and to complete the project. So go to the website. Please pre-order a DVD. We should be complete. We're expecting in April or May, hopefully. And you can also go to see my second multi-award-winning film. It won 14 awards, and that's Why in the World Are They Spraying.com. And then we also have geoengineeringactionnetwork.com. www.stratospheric.org that has details about the strategy that we're developing for the lawsuit. And one more, if I could. I know I have a lot of websites.
Hey, it's your moment. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. And the Coalition Against Geoengineering, and I formed that with G. Edward Griffin. We've had some.
Oh, he's a good guy, isn't he? Tell him hi for me.
Yeah, he's wonderful. So we've had some incredible volunteers come in and really develop that website. So I want to shout out to them and thank them for all of their support.
What drives you, Michael? 30 seconds.
Geez. You know, George, it's the
20.
A lot. It's the fact that if nobody does this, of what we're looking at, this is my desire for life. In my service to humanity. So, you know, I wake up, it's not the funnest job in the world. It has to be done. And it's my love for humanity.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. Good work. And, of course, you are always welcome on Coast to Coast. Up next, we're going to talk about the awakening, your awakening next.